everybody. Welcome to the DMV Wedding Pros Podcast. I'm your host, Abigail Cole from Abby Doodle Productions. Today, I talked to Kim from Mulberry Treats. She started her cookie decorating business in 2014. It started as just cookie decorating for her kids, which she loved. And now she teaches private classes and workshops, and she's also largely involved in charity events, which we do chat about toward the end of the episode. So we talked today about the home baking laws in Maryland, kind of where they've been, where they're going, and how Kim has really been a large part of that. And then we also talk about finding a cookie decorator and what kind of expectations there are when hiring someone for a bulk specialty cookie order. So let's hop into the episode. Hey, Kim, thank you so much for joining us. If you just want to tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Hi, Abigail. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I've been decorating cookies since 2014. I got started decorating for my kids' birthday parties. I just decided one birthday party that I was going to give it a try. And once you start, you get cookie goggles, and everything you see, you want to turn into cookies. So it kind of transitioned from there. And I started out decorating cookies when we lived in California, and we moved to Maryland in 2015. And I thought, oh, you know, when my youngest goes to kindergarten, I'll start selling cookies. And realized really quickly after we moved here that Maryland had some of the strictest home baking laws in the country. So that wasn't going to be, it wasn't going to be a possibility. Yeah. When I moved here in 2015, the only place that cookie decorators could sell legally was at farmers markets. And that didn't really work for me, being a stay-at-home mom with, you know, young kids, to go to a farmers market on, you know, spend my weekends at the farmers market.
Yeah. Well, today we are going to talk about those home baking laws. I'm really excited to have you because I know nothing about this subject, so I'm leaving all of the knowledge up to you. But we're going to kind of talk about home baking laws and what's new and what's next, as well as just, you know, some general cookie decorating things. So where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start. I'll give you an overview of, and I, disclaimer, I'm not a lawyer, so please do not take this as legal advice in terms of the Maryland home baking laws, but I'll just generally kind of go over a lot of changes that we've had over the past few years here in Maryland. Great. So when I moved here in 2015, you know, I was all excited to start, you know, decorating cookies once my kids went to kindergarten and I could be able to sell cookies. But I realized once I got here and started researching the home baking, and you'll also hear them referred to as cottage food laws. It's the same thing. Home baking and cottage food are it's the same thing.
Gotcha.
So the cottage food laws here in Maryland were some of the strictest in the country. At the time, home bakers could only sell at a farmer's market. So if my neighbor wanted me to decorate some birthday cookies for their child, I would have to meet them at, you know, have a booth at the farmer's market, meet them at the farmer's market and conduct the transaction there. So there's a nonprofit law firm called the Institute for Justice who had been working around the country to help improve home baking laws around the country. So Kentucky, New Jersey, Michigan, a lot of changes have happened over the past few years to get more lenient cottage food laws. Mm-hmm. So I had come across their name. I have some cookie friends who were fighting in Kentucky to get the home baking laws there changed. And I came across the name of this, you know, nonprofit law firm that was working with them. So I sent an email and I said, hey, you know, I'm in Maryland. I would love to help get the laws changed, like whatever you need, you know, please let me know. And they replied rather quickly and said, hey, guess what? We just found a co-sponsor for a bill that we want to, you know, pass through and get the laws changed. So I wound up, and this was back in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the public hearings that we had on it. I emailed all of my representatives here in Maryland, so my state delegates, my state senator, and tried to enlist and put the word out to as many, you know, cookie decorators, because that's my niche. That's really all the home bakers I knew were all cookie decorators. Mm-hmm. And just kind of put the word out. So that was a really interesting process to witness. You know, so I got to go to all of the public hearings and hear people, home bakers testify about what this would mean to them personally and to, other home bakers. So it was a really great experience. If you've never, seen how a bill becomes a law, it's really fascinating. It was very well received by all the committees, and they actually, all of the committee members decided to co-sign the bill because Wow. It's a bipartisan issue. Everyone can get on board with this. So, what the law in 2018 changed was it allowed home bakers to sell goods from home, not just at a farmer's market. So it allowed us to sell from home, at farmer's markets, public events, and by mail, but only within the state of Maryland. So that's honestly wasn't super helpful, but yeah, at least, so there's a lot more things, that we wanted to get on board at that time, but it's kind of baby steps. So lifting, that farmer's market restriction was huge. And, over the past couple of years, at least on the cookie decorating front, you've seen lots of cookie decorators crop up. And so what I think is really exciting about the change in these home baking laws is that, there's just a new market for wedding professionals and couples to tap into. So if you wanted, special custom decorated cookies, you can get that now. So I think that's really great. And it's exciting because, cookies can really provide like a special detail that, it's a nice little individual gift that you don't have to share. So people really like cookies because they don't have to share them and it's special for them.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting because, like I said, I just had like no idea that that was even like, I didn't realize there were all these hoops that you guys had to go through. So that's crazy, but that's so cool that you were kind of like a part of that process and like got to see it become what it is now. Are there other laws or restrictions that you see changing in the future?
Last year in October of 2019, we got another law passed where home bakers can now sell in food retail stores and in co-ops.
Oh, cool.
We're still, and they have to be food retail. So you can't sell to caterers and things like that. But that's still, it's another baby step. Some of the things that a lot of home bakers would love to see changed is some of the restrictions on the food types. So for now, like frostings made with butter and like fruit fillings and things like that are not allowed under the home baking laws. Those all still have to be done in a commercial kitchen. Anything that requires refrigeration. There's some testing they can do. You can submit some of your ice, like buttercreams and stuff, to get tested. But generally, anything that has to be refrigerated has to be done in a commercial kitchen. So I know that's something that cake decorators would really love to see get changed. Another issue that people want to see, a lot of people want to see changed with the home baking laws, is that for the labeling, we're required to provide our home address on every cookie or chocolate covered pretzel, like whatever it is the home bakers make it. You have to put a lot of information. One of the bits of information you have to put on there is your home address, which is concerning for a few reasons. One, just your personal security. There was a case out of Ohio where a cookie pickup order was actually used as a ruse to gain entrance into the cookie decorator's home.
Oh my gosh.
So that really sent, ripples of fear through at least the cookie decorating community. So we have HB 1017 that was, I think, it was thwarted by COVID. It was in the last session, but I think it kind of got preempted by COVID. But that's going to, hopefully, when it gets passed, it'll allow for an alternate ID to be put on your home baked goods. So you would register with the Department of Health. They would know your home address, but on your label, you would just have to put this ID number. So if there's ever any problem or concern, that your customers would have a way to lodge a complaint or follow through with a complaint. But I think it's good. I mean, we're in DC Metro, so we have a lot of people in this area with you know, government jobs, security clearances, law enforcement, you know, domestic violence victims who just don't want their address publicized like that. And some people don't care, but then there are a lot of people who that is a concern for.
Yeah, for sure. That's something that I would have never even thought of. That is so wild to me that that information like has to be out there. That's so crazy.
Yeah. And I get it from, you know, the public health standpoint. Like if I were to buy something, like, yes, I would want to have like some means to, you know, remedy a situation, whether it be spoiled or someone got sick. Like I do understand that part of it, but also, you know, there's not really any other industry I can think of that forces you to put your home address,
right,
you know, on your goods. And I know some people, you know, that's fine, but then there are a lot of people who just, you know, really are uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
So that hopefully once the next session we'll get that passed as well. One other thing that we're trying to do is get the income caps lifted. So right now home bakers are limited to a max of $25,000 income cap. So we'd like to see the, and that's, you see that in lots of states, although most of them have or are in the process of getting those lifted, because it just, you know, it, no one wants to be told that, you know, their income limit. So if you can make over $25,000 as a home baker, then I say more power to you. I don't, you know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I know. That is like honestly infuriating to me. Like as a small business owner, like I have finally found a way to make money, but they're like, no, I'm so sorry that there's a limit. Like that's so infuriating. That's crazy to me. Wow.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's, and I know a lot of people, and people will tell me all the time, like, oh, you know, you should sell your cookies. And it's like, well, you know, they're, and especially before the laws got changed, like a lot of people just have no idea. Unless you're a home baker in the baking industry, you don't really know much about it. You know, and home baking is important in terms of, you know, entrepreneurship and small business, because, you know, Charm City Cakes out of Baltimore, he started out as a home baker, and, you know, he's one of the most famous bakers in the country. So, you know, being a home baker, building that client base and word of mouth just helps you get to that point where eventually, you know, someday, if that's what you want to do, you could open a brick and mortar and, you know, have that, you know, hire employees, like expand that way. So, you know, to see home baking laws restricted so much around the country is disheartening, but to see so many changes over the past, especially like 3 and 4 years, so many states have expanded their cottage baking laws. So it's good to see that there's this, you know, realization that, you know, this is a good thing. It promotes, you know, entrepreneurship. It promotes, you know, entrepreneurship in lots of previously disadvantaged communities like women, minorities, where they have, you know, you don't need a lot of overhead because you're working out of your home, but you can, you know, start a business and start making income and have that platform to, if you want to, expand into, you know, brick and mortar.
Yeah, definitely. So before we kind of move on to from like business to like practical ordering and risk factors and all that kind of stuff, is there any other thing that you wanted to touch on that have to do with the laws?
Yeah, that might be the only thing, is just to raise public awareness of home baking laws and the restrictions that there are, and, you know, support your local home baker.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Okay, so from there, you know, I think there's still some like mystery around, in particular, like cookie decorating. So what kind of suggestions do you have when talking about like how to order them and what pricing structure looks like and that kind of stuff?
Okay, so if you want to order cookies for a client's wedding or for your for a special event, there's a couple things to know. So home bakers can't sell to caterers. So your traditional, you know, place where you're going to get most of your food items for a wedding or a big event. Some caterers can provide cookies. Like I know Sugar Butter Love in Crofton, they're a cookie decorating business and a caterer, so someone like that could. But generally, like these very highly detailed, like custom cookies, you're probably not going to be able to get from your average caterer. Mm-hmm. So you will have to like search outside of this kind of traditional arena to find cookie decorators. So, I mean, first thing, Google, you can always just Google like cookie decorators. You know, most cookie decorators have social media. They will have their own website. They'll have a Facebook page and they'll be registered with Google. So when you type it in, something can come up. Another place to find them is just through networking. So I'm involved with the Tuesdays Together here in Annapolis. I've found other cookie decorators through them. Also doing things like styled shoots. And I know you're a big fan of those with your video styled shoot. So that's another way of meeting different vendors. And a lot of it is, especially here in Maryland, it's going to be word of mouth, you know, things like that. You can follow some hashtags like Maryland, you know, Maryland Weddings or Maryland Home Bakers to find them in your area. And honestly, you can just ask me. Like, I give referrals out all the time. I try to keep like a good handle on at least the cookie decorators in Maryland. So I know several of them from around, you know, different parts of Maryland. So I'm always happy to refer. And if I don't know, surely someone that I know knows.
Yeah. So if people are inquiring with a home baker for like a big cookie order, what are some expectations that they should be aware of?
Okay, that's a good question because it is a little, well, it's a lot different than ordering from like your grocery store or bakery.
Yeah.
So I would say, especially for weddings, my first bit of advice would be to book early. So most of the cookie decorators that I know here in Maryland and all over the country are pretty much booked up for all of 2020.
Wow.
So most cookie decorators will have an established policy of a minimum of 2 weeks notice. But I would say, especially in this area where it's a small market with a lot of demand, you'd be lucky to get, a cookie order in with 2 weeks notice. But always try because there are cancellations and things like that.
Yeah.
So I would say definitely book early, especially for weddings. You know, research, you know, try to get some word of mouth, you know, try to find some cookie decorators and reach out to them. But I would definitely book at least 3 months and probably even more for a cookie decorator for a big event like a wedding. So another thing that might be a little bit different for wedding couples looking to, you know, hire a cookie decorator is, you know, when you go to a caterer, you have a whole special day of like sampling, and that's like the best part of that's the best part of wedding planning are the samples. And you do that with cake decorators as well. And for cookie decorating, it's going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, most cookie decorators aren't as a cottage baker, aren't really going to be able to do like a mock-up for you. Cause if you're say doing, like dinosaur, you have like a big dinosaur order in 1 week and everything is green and brown, and you know, a bride wants a sample like a blush pink, that you're gonna have to mix all that icing. So it's really like it really messes up with your workflow to do like one cookie in one color that's different from what you're working on. So my suggestion would be to, you know, reach out to your cookie decorator, someone you want to hire for a big event, you know, because you want to know what these cookies taste like. You know, that just goes without saying. You want them to look pretty and you want them to taste delicious. And, you know, there are cookies are very subjective. You know, some people use almond flavoring in their cookies, and that I call that the cilantro of the baking world, because some people love it and then some people just can't stand it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're one of those people, you don't know, like if you have this aversion to almond flavoring, then, you know, you kind of want to know that. So my suggestion would be to reach out to that cookie decorator, ask them if they're having any pop-up sales. Maybe they're, especially now, some of them are starting to do, you know, bridal events. So maybe you would get to taste a sample at a bridal event. But generally, I would ask for, you know, pop-up or any holiday specials. So, you know, as the holidays are approaching, see if they're doing any, you know, specials. So that way you can order, you know, a cookie or maybe two sets of cookies, you know, for under $10. And you get to sample the cookies. You get to see what they taste like. And then you'll feel more confident going forward with your order. You're supporting a small business, you're supporting their pop-up. So that's always a good thing. And then you're not, you know, you're not restricted, because most cookie decorators will have a one dozen or a two dozen minimum order. Mm-hmm. So by, you know, kind of saying, hey, you know, I'd like to sample your cookies. When's your next pop-up, or when's your next holiday pre-sale? That way you can get a sample and you're not stuck, you know, paying for a dozen cookies.
Right, right. So I know that you can't speak for every baker, but for a dozen cookies, what would one expect to pay for the artistry that is cookie decorating?
That's another good question. So it does vary by region. You know, if you're closer to a metro area, obviously, as with everything else, it's just going to be more expensive. If you're in a more rural area where the cost of living is lower, then maybe you could, it would be a little bit cheaper. But I would say generally in this area, in, you know, we're in Annapolis, next to the cities, you're probably looking at, for a basic set of a dozen cookies, around $50 a dozen.
Gotcha.
And, you know, that price does go up the more intricate, the intricate you want it. So if you want any handwriting on it, logos, metallics, people charge, you know, if you want the gold or silver metallic on it, that is usually, because it's costly for the baker, so that'll be reflected in the cost. So, you know, one suggestion I have, if you're working within a budget, you know, let the decorator know that up front. They can make some suggestions. You know, if you can't afford, say, an individual intricate cookie for a party favor for every wedding guest, maybe you could do a platter. I like to have, like, when I take my own cookies to, like, an event or a party in the neighborhood, I call them, like, party bites, because you'll find that, like, at a lot of, you know, events, like, people don't like to eat a lot of food, which I personally don't understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see that where there's, like, nobody eats. So if you have, like, a big 4-inch cookie, you're not going to see some, you know, lady in a nice dress, like, chowing down on, like, a gigantic cookie. So, but people will take what I call, like, party bites. So mini cookies where they can just, you know, one or two bites and enjoy it. And, you know, you can share it. So there are many ways to get around the budget, and just, I would suggest just talking to your cookie decorator, because, you know, $50 a dozen puts off a lot of people, and I get that.
Yeah,
it is a specialty item, it is expensive, but what you're paying for, and I hear this a lot in the cookie community with, you know, criticisms that decorators get. They say, oh, well, you know, that's so expensive, it's only, you know, flour and eggs and butter. And I get that, but you know, one thing to consider with decorated cookies is it's not a drop cookie. Like, I could make a ton of drop cookies and sell them for $1 a piece and be happy with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you're paying for with decorated cookies is the artistry. I mean, you're paying for the decorator skill. There's a lot of time involved, because you have to, like, let each layer dry. So there's a lot of, like, and don't even get me started on mixing the colors, because that a minimum, for me at least, a minimum an hour to mix colors.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, that the time does add up. So especially if you want, like, colors custom matched to obviously your wedding colors or things like that. So that's just things to consider when you hear the price. I mean, I know it's shocking to a lot of people, but you are, you know, you're paying for you know, something that's totally custom. I wish we could find a way to, you know, we're not Amazon or Walmart. I wish there was a way to, like, mass produce them, but there's not.
And when you are thinking about the cost for that, like, if you break it down per hour, I'm sure that it is not even what a decorator is worth. I mean, the time that goes into that is just so crazy. Like you said, it's a specialty item. And I think people definitely need to keep that in mind when they are looking to buy something like this.
I agree. And thank you for recognizing that. And one other thing to touch on that point is, I know a lot of cookie decorators, especially for things like weddings where you may have 300 guests, will get asked, you know, do you do a bulk discount? Mm-hmm. And I would say generally most decorators either won't, or the discount is very minimal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's unfortunate, and that's unfortunate. And it's not because they're being stingy. It's just because they're really, every single cookie like gets outlined, it gets flooded, it gets, so every you know, cookie that you get has been, there's no way to really mechanize that process. Right, I mean, right. You might save a little bit of time in mixing like a giant whole batch of icing, but generally there's not many ways to save time. So yeah. unlike a printer, once you get, you know, everything formatted and if you're doing letterpress, you get the die, you know, it's just a matter of like printing out more things. And so but there's really no way to mechanize that. So don't be surprised if they're not able to give you a discount, say for even like 300 cookies.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think that's like really comparable to like a place that has the resources already kind of available or more easily accessible. Like that makes sense for them to have a bulk discount. But for something like this, when you're still spending all of that time on each individual item, it just doesn't work. Is there any other like considerations that people need to think about when they are booking a home baker instead of maybe like a company or a bigger commercial kitchen?
Yeah, there are a few considerations. One, I would most, and I mean, every cookie decorator is going to be a little bit different, but I would expect to pay half down and then half upon receipt. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty standard in the cookie decorating industry. You know, one thing I know is a concern for a lot of people, I would say, especially, you know, couples who are, you know, it's a big event, you know, the wedding happens on one day. So I know like a cancellation is a big concern for, especially in the wedding industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most home bakers, it is a one person show. Send things come up, you know, kids get sick, we have a global pandemic, you know, things, right. Things happen. So that's something to, you know, really check your contract with your cookie, you know, check over the contract and just make sure you understand what the policy is. Like if they get an illness in the family, obviously if someone's got norovirus, you do not want them making cookies for your wedding and then potentially like giving your whole family or all your guests norovirus. So, there are a couple things to ask your wedding decorator. One, a lot of decorators will kind of have agreements with other cookie decorators to say like in, you know, an emergency situation, like, could you take the order for me? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing to ask. And another thing, especially for a wedding, one suggestion would be to, you know, if your wedding, you could get the cookies delivered a couple weeks before your wedding and throw them in your freezer. They're going to be perfectly fine, taste just fine, you know, for your wedding. But that would allow you any wiggle room in case you have, you know, something come up. If you, you know, we just had the hurricane come through. So there were a lot of decorators down in, you know, Texas and Louisiana who had to cancel orders. So things like that do come up. And I think just, you know, going into this as either a vendor, an event planner, or even the couples, just kind of going in with that expectation that, you know, you may have to be satisfied with just a refund.
Yeah.
You know, that they, and every cookie decorator has, you know, a refund policy. Obviously, if they're sick, you know, they're unable to make your cookies, and they're going to refund you. But, you know, if cookies are really, really important to you on your wedding, and I say this, like, I don't want to scare people. I know a ton of cookie decorators all over the country, and I know of two situations where they had to cancel orders. And this is, I mean, I've been decorating for 6 years now, so it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. So if cookies are like, you know, you have to have these cookies at your wedding, like there's, you know, for me, stationery was a big thing. Mm-hmm. That was one of my big wedding things. Like I love paper and I love stationery. So that was like a big, like must have on my wedding list. You know, if cookies are up there, then get them delivered 2 weeks before and, you know, just ask your decorator, you know, what's the policy? What if you get sick? You know, what's going to happen? And they should have a contingency plan either with another decorator or, you know, be able to offer you a refund or suggest maybe like, look, hey, have your cookies arrive 2 weeks before. So you have a cushion.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. I think that's, it's great that this is one of those services that you can do ahead of time. And I think that's really valuable knowledge so that people can plan ahead and make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into. And I think that's true across the wedding vendor spectrum. I mean, I think, you know, even with the payment, like 50% before and 50% during or just before is pretty standard. And same thing, like if a photographer or a videographer gets sick last minute and they can't be at your event, you know, we all have in our contracts that, you know, here would be the procedure and, you know, we'd find a replacement, etc. So I think it's good that people realize that this is no different than that. You know, it's still one person taking on all of the work. So yeah, I think that's great that people know that.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I hadn't thought about that with the photographers. Yeah, because that also is a one or two person show. And if they're, yeah, down with the flu, there's not really much they can do. So yeah, that right. That's a good analogy. Yeah.
And like you said, you know, it's very rare and we hope that it doesn't happen, but we have to have plans in place contractually to make sure that, you know, our customers are getting the best they possibly can and to protect everybody. So I think it's smart that, you know, we all have those protection plans in place.
And I think one final consideration would be how to make sure you're getting what you expect. Certainly ordering from a pre-sale or a pop-up will allow you to taste the cookie and make sure it's something that you like, a flavor that you like. And, you know, cookie decorators, it's not just vanilla. So you can get all kinds of, like, you know, now everyone's making pumpkin spice cookies. So you can actually get a lot of different flavors in a rolled out decorated cookie. It's not that my personal favorite's vanilla, but you can get a lot of different like custom flavors like strawberry lemonade, you know, lots of different flavors to either coordinate or complement the other food that you have at your wedding. But in terms of decorating, you know, getting what you expect, you know, because especially for weddings, like there's a lot of florals, a lot of people like florals and different, you know, very detailed cookies. So I would just really, if you're going to book a cookie decorator, just check out their social media. So if you're following them on social media and they make very detailed cookies with lots of florals and that's what you request for your wedding, you can be pretty assured that that's what you're going to receive. However, if their, you know, social media feed is very simple cookies, you know, you need to take that into consideration that it, what you're requesting is consistent that with what you've seen them produce.
Definitely. Yeah.
And we all, you know, as cookie decorators, we're always like challenging ourselves. So like my kids are always challenging me to do like different cookies. So I'm always like stretching. So that doesn't mean like they can't do it, but, you know, just make sure that what you see on their social media is consistent with your expectations.
Definitely. And again, I feel like that's something that's true across the board with wedding vendors. And I think that's really solid, solid advice. So it sounds like you have been at this for quite some time. You know all the right people and you've definitely got a hold of the cookie and the home baking world. So is there any resources that you can share with other home bakers?
Sure. First thing would be the Maryland Department of Health. I mean, they're really the go-to for what types of things you can and can't sell, any questions you have. So they're really the go-to. And to support home bakers specifically, there's the Institute for Justice, which they're the nonprofit that has worked to get the home baking laws changed in several states, including ours. And they have a Facebook page, Maryland Cottage Food Reform. And you can get lots of information. They're always posting things about updates to the laws. They're a lot of times will ask for if anyone can provide testimony for the legislative hearings and things like that. So it's a great resource for any home baker in Maryland and anyone in the wedding industry too. So you can keep, you know, tabs on what's going on with home baking.
At the end of every episode, I really love to ask my guests why they are so passionate about the topic that we talked about. So if you want to kind of share with us your why.
That's a really good question. I tell this to my cookie classes, like what I love so much about cookies is that it allows us to, whether you're the cookie decorator or you're the person gifting them, cookies allow you to say things that you don't always have the words for. So I'm not here to bash cupcakes or cakes because I love them. But, you know, a cookie is, it's an individual gift. It can be very personalized. It's meant just for that person. And, you know, when you receive a cookie, you know someone has, like, hunkered down over that and, like, spent a lot of time on it and doing, you know, very precise things on it. So, you know, for me, like, cookie decorating is a way to break bread with people. And yeah. I think you find that with most bakers, like cupcakes, cakes. I mean, this is your way of breaking bread with people and really connecting with people on a human level. So one of my absolutely favorite things to do is decorate cookies for charity. And there is a bake sale called the Gobo Bake Sale. It benefits pediatric cancer. It takes place in Sister Bay, Wisconsin. And it was started by a cookie decorator. Her cookie name is Jill FCS. It stands for Jill Funky Cookie Studio. And she was really impacted by a situation in her small town where a boy had cancer. And she reached out to a bunch of cookie decorators and said, "Hey, I want to do a cookie decorating fundraiser. Can you send in some cookies?" So people sent in a lot of cookies and they sold them. And I think the first year they made $5,000. To date, I think it's been going on for 5 years. To date, I think we've raised over $130,000.
Wow.
The first year I did it, I think it was in 2015, and I had my kids make a little cookie to decorate, and I sent those in with the cookies that I decorated. And I said to myself, you know, I really would love to, this would be amazing if, like, more kids could do this, like, yeah. if their class could do it. So the next year I reached out to teachers and the principal and got approval for us to go in, and, you know, had took all kinds of allergy precautions and things of that nature. But I took in iced cookies, so I had already, you know, baked them and iced them, and then I took in edible food markers. And I've done this for the past 4 years, I think, 3 or 4 years. Take them into my kids' classrooms, and it truly, if you could bottle, like, what the kids and I and the teachers feel when we leave that classroom, it could solve so many of the world's problems. So I go, I give them a little bit of background on Bo. They understand these cookies are unfortunately not for eating. They're just for decorating, and explain about Bo. And we talk about your superpower. And so I tell them, you know, this was Miss Jill's superpower was baking cookies, and now this is going to be our superpower. So we're going to decorate these cookies. We send them to Sister Bay, Wisconsin, and then they're going to sell them there. And the things these kids write on these cookies is amazing. Like, it, and I have a few of them on my Instagram page. Like, it, I mean, I tear up every single time I do this. It's such a wonderful feeling, you know. And I ask the kids, you know, if anyone, they know anyone who has cancer, and every kid raises their hand. They all share stories with me about people they know who've been affected. And I said, you know, one of the things that we feel when we hear the word cancer is that we feel frustrated, like we don't know how to help. And this is a way that you can help. So I don't know. I just feel like it really empowers them and makes them have a sense that, you know, just by decorating this one cookie, like, they can really make a difference.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my absolutely favorite, and I'm so bummed this year it's not going to happen because of COVID, but, you know, we'll be able to do it next year. But it really is such a wonderful experience, you know, to see the kids realize that they do have a superpower, that they can, you know, make this very positive impact, and not just in our community, but they know the cookies are going to Wisconsin. We do the math, we figure out, like, how much our class is going to raise. So it really is, for me, that is, like, the best thing about cookies, is that you can really, like, you know, spread joy in the world. You can empower people and just, you know, bring goodness into the world.
Yeah, what an incredible project, and what an absolute difference you are seriously making in those kids' lives by just being able to talk about this, like, big, kind of scary, like, thing that is just real and just is life, and by making them feel like so comforted by the fact that they all share in common that they know someone afflicted with this, and also that they can help by literally just decorating a cookie. That is so incredible and so impactful. I'm sure they are so grateful for that opportunity. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, Kim. Where can people find you online?
Thanks for having me. This has been super fun. They can find me mostly on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is mulberry_t. So MULBERRY_T. I'm working on a website. So that'll be forthcoming, but that's the best place to reach out to me. I also have a Facebook page, Mulberry Treats.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much again for being here. This was such awesome information, and I'm so glad that you could be here.
Awesome. Thank you, Abigail. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the DMV Wedding Pros podcast. You can find Kim with the links in our show notes, as well as the link for the transcript of this episode. We are on Instagram at DMV Wedding Pros podcast. You can join us there, leave some love on Kim's post, and if there's anyone or anything that you would love to hear about, shoot us a DM. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, tell people what they should expect and why they should tune in. Till next time.